Shall we bow our heads in prayer? Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that Jesus came to show us how to live by faith. We thank you for these words to the Hebrews. Help us to take them and apply them to our own lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Last Sunday, Carol began by asking for definitions of the word we were looking at last week. Can anybody remember what last week's word was?
Grace.
Now, sadly, Clive isn't here, but that means that you can all tap your memories. Clive gave us an acronym for grace. Yes?
God's riches at Christ's expense.
This week we are thinking about faith. Does anyone know the acronym that we are often taught for the word faith?
No.
Am I the only one who remembers this? Forsaking all, I trust him. Forsaking all, I trust him. I've no idea where I read it or how long ago, but that's what popped into my head. Forsaking all, I trust him. Now, on the whole, the Bible does not provide us with definitions in the way that a dictionary does. But one place that it comes very close to doing so is in this passage from Hebrews. It gives almost a standard definition for faith in the Christian tradition. So if you'd like to take your this week's sheet with the reading there, or a Bible if you have one, and it says quite clearly there, Hebrews 11 verse 1, now faith is... Shall we read it together? Now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. It may be slightly different in some versions, but that's basically telling us what faith is. So you never have an excuse for not knowing what faith is, because you can look it up in Hebrews 11. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 1. Confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. Faith in the book of Hebrews is always closely linked with hope. Faith is looking to God and trusting him for everything. Hope is looking to the future and trusting God for it. And here in verse 1, as I've said, we have faith defined in relation to hope. When we have faith underneath our hope, as it were, then that gives us assurance. We may hope for a better world. We may hope for a new bodily life beyond the grave. But unless we believe in God who raised Jesus, then our hope is mere optimism. We may hope for a better world and with a new bodily life beyond the grave. But unless we believe in the God who raised Jesus, then that hope is just mere optimism. Tom Wright translated the end of verse 3 as saying, the visible world was not made from visible things. The visible world was not made from visible things. And it takes faith in God the Creator to see this.
This chapter of Hebrews not only provides us with a definition of faith, but offers a long series of examples of how this assurance, this conviction, this confidence led certain Old Testament figures to do what they had to do and to bear what they had to bear. Now, I've already pointed out that we do have this reading before us on our welcome sheet. We also have the reading that some of us heard this morning at one or other of the services. I'd like, if you would, to just spend a moment looking at what Jones just read, Hebrews 11, and the first part of this morning's reading, Mark 8, 34-38. This isn't included in my notes. This was something that struck me as I was listening this morning. So perhaps you could just look at that, those two readings, and see if there's anything. You can talk to somebody if you like. Don't have to just think on your own. Chat to the person near to you. Can you see any similarities? What sort of strikes you between the two readings? I think particularly, if we're looking at our reading, probably the second bit of ours, from 8 to 11, the beginning and end of that, and the beginning and end of the first part of this morning's reading. What does the beginning of, what does verse 8 talk about in regards to Abraham? What does he say he was? What did God do for Abraham, to Abraham? What was he? He was called. No? By faith, Abraham, when called, he was called. Look back at the reading this morning. And what did Jesus do? He called the crowd. He called the crowd to him along with his disciples and said, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross and follow me. Abraham was called to go where God sent him. Jesus called the disciples and the crowd and us to go where he sends us, to follow. There was another word that struck me that comes out the same. Perhaps we're not going to talk too much about that, but it won't hurt us to have a little look. In verse 38 of Mark 8, and then in the last verse of our reading this evening, verse 16. It talks about God, it talks about Jesus as the Son of Man, having a particular feeling, emotion, if you like. God is not ashamed. And verse 38 of this morning, if anyone is ashamed, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them. So we've got something about faith and following in both this morning's reading and this evening's, and something about God being ashamed or not being ashamed to be called our God. Sorry for that little going off the track, shall we say. So we have these list of people, if you read the whole chapter of Hebrews 11, these list of Old Testament people who followed, who had faith. And there is none more prominent than Abraham in the verses that Joan read to us, that great exemplar of our faith. Faith, the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. We read of the faith of Abraham and his wife Sarah. Faith in a creator God. Faith that was also in a covenant God, a God who made promises. For by faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called and set out to a place that he was to receive as his inheritance. By faith he stayed for a time in the land he'd been promised, as if in a foreign land. By faith he received the power of procreation when he was a very old man, far past the age of fathering children. Abraham became a new, a different person, a man of faith. A man who lived inside the tension between promise and fulfillment. He knew what God had promised. He did not yet see it fulfilled. He recognized that what is visible and what is certain are not the same thing. Something, a lesson perhaps, that we can learn from Abraham, that what is visible and what is certain are not the same thing. And so he was not your stereotypical hero who makes his own way in the world. Not the conventional person who follows the path that others have travelled. But Abraham accepts the Lord God as his guide and trusts him to lead the way. He says no to what culture tells him. He says no to his own self and obeys instead what is often the bewildering voice of his God. In Hebrews we read of this man of faith, Abraham, who set out not knowing where he was going. He didn't lose his way. He never knew it in the first place. When God calls us, do we know where we're going? Do we lose our way? Or do we not know the destination in the first place? Do we just have to follow step by step, day by day? Abraham lived in tents in a foreign land, almost as though he was a nomad, a refugee, perhaps an illegal alien. Words familiar to us today? People who have to become nomads, refugees, illegal alien, illegal immigrant. And something else for Abraham that perhaps I don't think many of us will have to face. He found himself with a baby at 90 years of age. His situation, his life story, were both unsafe and unheroic. He obeyed a different voice than other people. He did not listen to his ego talking, nor the demands and the norms of society. We often call Abraham the father of believers. Some of you may remember a song, Father Abraham and many sons, and many sons of Father Abraham. We won't go into that one now. He's called the father of believers. Surely this means that there should be a family resemblance that should be apparent between Abraham and us as Christians. He's the father of believers. We should behave, as it were, like Father Abraham. So like Abraham, we must sometimes shut our ears to our own egos, our own self. We must sometimes shut our ears to society's expectations when Jesus calls, "Follow me." We need to listen instead to a different voice. And here's the frightening bit. We don't necessarily have to know where we're going. And instead of a nervous self-confidence, we have that assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things unseen. Not something that we dream up, but that comes to us as a gift. And rather than trust our private self or those around us, we need to choose to put our trust where Abraham put his. This attitude, this faith, is not a guarantee of a trouble-free existence. For as we've seen, faith had Abraham set out one day he knew not where. It found him a refugee of sorts. But in his wandering, in his exile, in his stumbling, he did come to enjoy the companionship of the Lord God, who took as much of a gamble on Abraham as Abraham took on him. I don't know how many of you remember the beginning of the Second World War, but I'm sure you've read about it and heard about it, been told about it. In 1939, as the war clouds darkened over Europe, King George VI lifted countless spirits through a Christmas message broadcast to the British Empire, in which he quoted a poem by Minnie Lewis Haskins. "I said to the man who stood at the gate of the year, give me a light that I may tread into the unknown. And he replied, go into the darkness and put your hand in the hand of God. That shall be to you better than light and safer than a known way. Go into the darkness and put your hand in the hand of God. That shall be to you better than light and safer than a known way." This is what Abraham did when he faced the unknown. He did not recognize the way himself. Other people did not guide him, but he walked into the darkness, putting his hand into the hand of God. Any person, any one of us as individuals, any congregation has times of facing the unknown. None of us is exempt. The PCC recently met to seek God's vision for St. Lawrence's. I understand that they will meet again, and then that something of that vision will be shared with all the congregations in the weeks following the annual meeting. Where is God leading us? What is God's vision for this church? Where is he calling us to go, to step out into the darkness? I'm sure there will be times when we look foolish in the eyes of the world, and when we feel anything but comfortable about what's happening, when life seems neither heroic nor conventional. Let's see if at that time we can remember to follow the example of Abraham, the father of our faith. when we do not recognise where we're going, he stands at the gate of each new episode. In response to a plea for light, for vision, we are told to be Abraham's children in faith. As we read in this morning's reading, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. Deny ourselves, take up the cross and follow Jesus. Go into the darkness. Put your hand into the hand of God. That shall be better than a light and safer than a known way. Amen.